morning, Talmidim. Last week, the Manal spoke at the Mir Dinah in New Jersey, and the Manal said over something they want to repeat to the Talmidim and get into this week's parasha as well. There's a minig, the Manal said, that many families have when they bench, during benching, before they start benching. Usually, if you eat a suda, there's a knife on the table. So before you start benching, either you take off the knife from the table, or you put the knife under, you hide it, you cover the knife. Where's this minute come from? There was a story once where someone was benching, and he got to a Vnei Yerushalayim Mirakoydesh Meher V'Yemeinu, a tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and he was overcome with tzar that the Beis HaMikdash is still not rebuilt, and he started crying. And crying and crying about the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And unfortunately, his emotions took over his entire well-being. And he grabbed the knife that was on the table, and that was the end of him. Terrible story. So Chazal made a tikkunah that when you bench, you should cover the knife or take off the knife from the table, that we shouldn't have such tragedies. So that could be so overtaken about the Churban Beis HaMikdash that really took his own life. It's a terrible tragedy. So for that, to prevent that, you cover the knife, you take off the knife from the table, it shouldn't be there. So the Manal asked the question, because there was a story once, something like this happened, that, Square Rebbe asked the question. Because there was a story once about a person who was so upset and so sad, and that's why for generations to come, you have to take off the knife before the benching, or you cover the knife before benching. Why is that such an important... There were unfortunately many stories that happened throughout Klal Yisrael. We don't make a zeche for it. We don't make a remembrance for it. Why was this so important? So the Rebbe answers, that's my answer. The Rebbe answers as follows. He says, just for us to remember that there's such a musik, there is such a concept that on such a level of feeling the tsar of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that he took it to such a high level, chas v'shalom, it should never happen again. But understand that there are such people that when Shechinta Begalis and thinking about the Shechinas in Galus, they're so overtaken, they're so in pain, and they could do extremes. Remember there's such a musik. About when I talk about people that today would do anything like it, hopefully b'siyata d'shmaya. But remember, there's such a concept of feeling the pain of Golas, feeling the pain of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So when we repeat this halacha, this minhag of taking off the knife, we're remembering, there's such a musik of being in so much pain. The past few weeks, we spoke about living a bissl hecher, higher frequency, things that are a bit, the kedoshim tiyu. And some of the things that we're discussing is just for us to understand there's such a musik. Last week we discussed about the fact of being a healthy yid, adohei ben b'tayra. You have to discomfort yourself. We spoke about amelus b'tayra, tishti amelus b'tayra. It means that you have to do something that's a bit hard. And we gave an example that if someone is on a diet and they're not feeling uncomfortable, then chances are they're not losing weight. You have to feel uncomfortable. You're working hard. You're feeling uncomfortable. Then you know you're losing weight. Someone is doing exercise and nothing hurts them and they're not sore and the hand doesn't hurt and the feet doesn't hurt. Then chances are the exercise is not being so effective. So the few Talmidim that came to ask a question afterwards last week, they said, Rebbe, previously Rebbe had said that if you feel that the load is too hard, he said a story about a suitcase. Someone came to his Rebbe. He said that I can't, I'm working so hard, and the Yiddishkeit is Torah and the mitzvahs, it's way too hard, it's way too overwhelming for me. And the Rebbe said that you must be doing something wrong. The muscle with the suitcase, you put up the suitcase. He saw him sweating. He said, you bring up the wrong suitcase because Torah shouldn't be so hard. So if you told me to ask the question last week, Rebbe, you told us that Torah shouldn't be so hard. It shouldn't be uncomfortable. So why are we saying that shikiyu amelim b'tayra, that it should be uncomfortable? And the teretz is, yes, the exercise is hard. The dieting is hard. Yet the results is very rewarding. when you lose that 10 pounds, I mean, not you, but when you lose that 10 pounds, you feel good about it. It's a good feeling. When you do the exercise in Kinahara, I mean, you feel it. You feel good about yourself. When it comes to learning Torah, yes, you have to work hard. You have to pinch yourself to work hard. But if after you work hard, you still feel, I can't, it's too hard for me, I can't do it anymore, then you're doing something wrong. Because afterwards should be coming such chizuk, such good feeling. We should be feeling, wow, this was great. It was a good workout. It was a good shetiyu amela matayru. Now I feel good about myself. So the Torah says, yes, we have to discomfort ourselves. And through the uncomfortable pieces, you're going to see results which will give you such good feelings afterwards. And we spoke about a few examples where sometimes, again, somebody will come up with a big slurpee into the Beis Medrash with his Gemara. And we said that he'll get schar for learning. Yet, that's not the top tier bentayr that we're talking about. There are shvachi eaten out there. They're not there yet. They'll get schar for learning. But we have to understand the musagim. Who are we comparing ourselves to? Who is our role models? Who do we want to be like? And there was a story that said, didn't feel comfortable enough to share last week, but now I feel more comfortable I'll share this week. Not that we want boys to do that, but yet understand that musik, as the Manal said, what gave me the chizik to say it? Because a few weeks ago I spoke about the concept of not chewing gum. Not chewing gum, sometimes kids chew. It's not idle, it's not fine. And I thought maybe I'm going to get some pushback from parents. No, I tell them, I'm telling my kids not to chew gum, which I didn't say not to, I'm just explaining a musik. Yet the opposite happened. A few parents came over to me, Rabbi Tenenbaum, I have to thank you. My kid came home on Shabbos and said over what you said, and you're so right. The chewing gum is out of hand, and people walk around the streets chewing gum, they walk in the stores chewing gum. One parent even told me that he's a Rebbe, and one of his students in middle class started chewing gum. She said, what's going on here? So when it comes to boundaries, do we understand what yes and what not? So once I heard that, I said, okay, so let's try and see if we can push the envelope a bit higher. So there was a story that I saw last week. There was a tzaddik in the show by the name of Rav Zalman Brizel, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Rav Zalman Brizel was a guru of the Hoy Ben Ayid. He was mamish on the top tier tzaddik. So again, let's hear the story. One of his Talmidim came over to Reb Zalman Brizel. He was a younger man, and he was clearly in pain. And the Rebbe asked him, what's going on? So he says, I have a problem. And he started a bit tearing up. So the Rebbe asks him, what's the issue? He said that I ate the flesh of Yisuda, and it wasn't yet 6 hours since I finished Yisuda. I forgot that I was fleshiks, and I ate a piece of milk and chocolate. And he can't get himself. Started tearing up. He was like in tears. I can't get to myself. I ate basa b'chalov. I was fleishiks, and it's not yet full 6 hours. And I ate a piece of milk and chocolate. And so Rav Zalman Brizel looks at him and says, "This that it's not yet 6 hours, we could take care of. We could find a heter. But for a young man like you to eat a piece of chocolate, we come to us." Someone that sits and learns on a Torah of Alavoid and Asad Ahoy Ben Yid on such a high level, the highest tier Ben Torah, to eat a piece of chocolate? How do you even have chocolate in your house? Rabbi Sai, I'm not telling you not to eat chocolate. I eat chocolate as well. One day, hopefully, I'll be in that level. One day. Things that I'm saying now is not that I reach that level. But I like hearing what I'm saying. Because even if you don't hear it, I do hear it. So me, do you hear such a music? Chocolate? It's kosher. It was chul v'shirul. It was fully kosher, the highest level kosheris. But a younger man on that tier, that he should get the tears, that he wasn't the full 6 hours, that it should bother him so much. Why do you have chocolate in your house? And again, I'm not advocating against eating chocolate. But do we hear such a music? When we talk about shetiyu amela b'Torah, Torah comes with pure amelos. Torah comes when you work hard towards it. Torah comes when you discomfort yourself. The Medrash in this week's Rashi, which you probably heard many times, and you're probably going to hear many times, a famous Medrash, the Medrash tells us, the beginning of the parasha, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai, The Torah starts off with saying that this is a Midbar Sinai. So the Medrash asks, Lama be Midbar Sinai? Why is it important for the Torah to tell us that this happened in the Midbar Sinai? So Dr. Medrash, Mkashanu Chachamim, from here the Chachamim learned, the Torah was given with three things, three ingredients were given along with the Torah. Ba'esh, uva mayim, uva midbar. The Torah was given with esh, fire, mayim, water, and midbar in the midbar of the desert. And it brings proof of where you see that the Torah was given with esh, mayim, and midbar. So the Medrash asks, why was the Torah given with these three things? So the Medrash answers, fire, water, and midbar is for free. No one has to pay for it. So too, the Torah is for free. It's not hard to achieve the Torah. It's free. It doesn't cost you any money to learn. Just as fire, midbar, and mayim doesn't cost money, so too, Torah, everyone can get to the Torah. And then the Medrash brings another thing, but I'm sure you've seen it. In order to be kind of the Torah, you have to make yourself like a midbar. You have to have amnibus. You have to have a certain level of humility. You have to be a humble person in order to be able to accept the Torah. So I saw shot from Rameya Shapira, Zechatzadik Lebrach, the Shiva from Chachmei Lublin. And he says as follows. When it comes to Torah, the Torah is given Be'esh, B'mayim, U'v'midbar. These are three things that Klal Yisrael will moisa nefesh in order to be Klal Yisrael. And the Torah was given in a fashion where we have to be moisa nefesh ourselves for Torah. We have to discomfort ourselves for Torah. So Esh is Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was thrown into the Kipshon Esh. There was a burning furnace. I'm not sure. And Avram Avinu was thrown into the burning furnace. Was it hard to allow yourself to be thrown into a burning furnace? Sure it was hard. Was it more uncomfortable than not eating chocolate or whatever? Sure it was. And what was the result of it? Look what happened to Avraham Avinu. He came out unscathed. He came out and built Yiddishkeit. It came with a bit of discomfort. It came with a mesiras nefesh. He allowed himself to be thrown into Kivshan HaEsh. And from that, look what happened to Klal Yisrael. Mayim, look what happened to Nachshon ben Aminadav. When it came to the Yamsuf, Nachshon ben Aminadav, or the Shevet Yehuda, whatever, jumped into the Yamsuf. Was that Mesiris Nefesh? Sure, that was Mesiris Nefesh. It took a lot of guts to jump into the water, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go. And what happened? The water split, and from there, the Bezus Mitzrayim came, the Bezus Hayam came, all the money came, and Klal Yisrael was preparing themselves for Kabbalah Satayra. Was there Mesiris Nefesh? Yes, he had to jump into a live body of water. And what happened afterwards? Only good came out afterwards. And Midbar. Look at the Midbar. Klal Yisrael went into the Midbar. They had nothing with them. Nothing. Was a woman, have a family, have kids. Where am I going to live? What do we go into a desert? And yet, look what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fed them, gave them the man, gave them. So through right after they did some form of Mesiris Nefesh, they saw tremendous, tremendous Yeshuas. And that's Zakhar Meir Shapiro, the message of this Medrash. You're going to learn Torah, there has to be discomfort. There has to be Mesiris Nefesh. You just do a drop of Mesiris Nefesh, making yourself uncomfortable, you're going to see the Yeshuas Hashem right afterwards. You're not going to have to be long in that Kishon Eish. You're not going to have to be long in that Mayim. You're not going to have to be long in the Midbar, because you're going to see the Yad Hashem and everything. So he says, today's generation, it's a bit hot, right? The air conditioner is not working. Oh, I can't learn. I can't learn. Air conditioner is not working. So if it's not hotter than the Esh, then Avraham Avinu threw himself into Kivshan HaEsh. That could be Amasir's Nefesh when it comes to Esh. If it's a bit warm and I say, you know what, I'm not going to let the warmth bother me and I'm going to put myself into learning, that could be the Mesiris Nefesh like Avraham Avinu. Is it on the same level? Absolutely not. But in our day, in our Nisoyan, that could be the Kivshan HaEsh. Mayim, sometimes it's raining outside and it's cloudy outside and no one is in the mood. No one wants it. You know what? It's so, you can't play. The gym is not over. The other class has it. You can't play outside. I can't learn. And if you tell yourself, you know what? It's not uncomfortable, but I'm going to put the extra effort. That's your Mesiris Nefesh. And Bamidbar, sometimes you don't have what you need. It's nothing. It's desolated. There's nothing there. You don't. And you still learn? and you make yourself uncomfortable, that's your mesiras nefesh. And that's when you're going to be and see the Yeshua's Hashem. I want to finish off with an incident that happened yesterday, Sunday. Kids at home, studying for tests for hours. I think the finals are coming up now, so they have to start preparing, especially the girls. So a lot of studying that's going on. So the kids, my girls asked me, Tati said, okay, if we go get some ice cream. Want to go? There's a store called Dairy Star. Could we go get some ice cream? Now, Be'etzim, I don't feel comfortable with the store. Number one, it's not a Yiddish store. They do also sell Chalav Yisrael products. So, kashrus-wise, it's okay. You could find. But I don't feel comfortable in the store. One thing I definitely don't feel comfortable is standing in line over there. Anyone that has ever gone past by Dairy Star, the line over there, first of all, it's lines on lines, even though it goes quickly, but the people that stand in those lines, yes, it's true, there are some Yidden that stand in line also, but a lot of the people that stand in lines are not just regular not Yidden, but low class. It's hard to look at the people that are standing in line. So that's why I never like standing in line. Sometimes, Nebuchadnezzar, you look at the people that are standing in line, you have rachmanos of them. I don't know how they could afford an ice cream if they can't afford clothing to cover their body. And the ice cream there is not cheap. Sometimes you go there and you have to pockets, and sometimes you have to pay with coins because you don't have enough bills to pay. So you empty your pocket to see if you have another quarter, maybe you have a 50 cent. It's so expensive to pay over there. Anyway, to make a short story long, listen to what happened. So I'm thinking to myself, the kids really... they want to get the snow blitz, whatever it is. So first I want to make sure that the snow blitz is takich kosher. So I called up to find out. They said, yeah, they could get snow blitz Chalav Yisrael, but you have to ask for Chalav Yisrael. Bachshem, today it's not in the sign here. Chalav Yisrael, please, Bachshem, not in the sign. Back in the day, I mean, going back 15 years, I remember when some kids would bring a snack to school that wasn't Chalav Yisrael, and the school's handbook, the school's policy is that, we're top-tier Talmidim, and we want to prepare them for top-tier B'nai Torah. So the school has a policy, they have to bring only Chalav Yisrael. So I remember asking a kid once, I mean, is this like part of the... So he says, my family's not makbet on Chalav Yisrael. This was going back 15 years ago. My family's not makbet on Chalav Yisrael. I said, you mean to say your family's makel on Chalav Stam? Chalav Yisrael is not a chumrah. I'm not makbet on Chalav Yisrael. Chalav Yisrael is a halacha. There's a kula that was made for the Shvach Yidden that if you can't get Chalav Yisrael, that you can do the Chalav Stam. But Baruch Hashem, this is not a problem anymore. Al-Piroiv, not a problem anymore today, because Achshadara, today you can get all the products, almost all the products, Chalav Yisrael, and then the son of Chalav Stam has come out not there anymore. And for those that are, and again, their families are growing. So it's not something which is a... So, but again, we're seeing the growth of where we came from 15 years ago to today. Baruch Hashem, we're not makbet. Well, you're not makbet. You're not makel. We are makel. We're makel on Chalav Stam. We're not makbet. Anyway, listen to this. So we take the kids to Dairy Star. I told my kids, I'm not standing in line. I'm not leaving the car. I'll let my daughters go. But if there's a very long line, or there's a lot of poor people there that can't afford proper clothing, then we're going to leave, or we'll come back a different time when there's less people waiting in line. So we came, the line was beside them. There were a lot of Eden waiting in line. So I said, I'm going to drop off my daughters to stand in line, and I'm going to the back of the store because I don't want to have to get this. I don't want to have to see. I don't want to put myself in the sun to see the line of people that are waiting there. Go in the back of the store where it's only parking. And I saw something very impressive. There were two of our Talmidim. Two brothers. They were in back of the store and they had a catch, a ball. They were playing ball, a catch. And I'm thinking, what's going on? There's the best place they found, a place with have a tag, is in the parking lot behind Dairy Star. And a few minutes later, I see their mother walk with a whole bunch of ice cream to the car. This mother, or the boys, I'm not sure who was the one that decided that, realized that it's not a place for top-tier Ben Tyre to stand in line. But we do want ice cream. So the mother said, you know what? You stay behind the store. Well, you don't have the nesayin of the people that are standing in line that are not on the top tier people. And play ball while I'll get the ice cream for you. And I'm thinking, Mika Am Chisrael, in 2025, you can have such parents that have that foresight, and you have kindlech that realize this is not a place for me to go. It's not a line for me to stand on. But I do want the ice cream. Okay, so we're not there yet with the bar of chocolate, the salmon brizel, and that's okay. I don't want anyone to be there yet. When you'll be that age, we can talk about it, but not yet. Still continue playing, still continue eating ice cream, still continue eating chocolate. But to realize that I don't want to be metama my eyes. I don't want to put myself in the sun. So I will not wait in that line. I would rather stand in the back of the store and have a catch with my brother, a bull, throw a bull there, so that I'm not in the sun. In today's times, to have such talmidim and such parents, Mika Amchi Yisrael, this was such a kid of Shem Shamayim. It was so beautiful to watch. So it's not only when we have to say a story about that same Talmud that needed some chizuk. When we do good and we go out of our way and we kaddish Hashem Shamayim, it's important to say the story even though the Talmud is sitting in the room. A Talmud that makes sure not to put himself in that Nesayan. The parents that realize that. That's what we're talking about, to go that extra step of Tihiyu Amelim. It's a bit uncomfortable. I would rather want to see how the machine gets out the water, the ice cream. You know, it's very interesting to see the swirls. It's interesting to watch them make this noblitz or whatever it's called. It's interesting to watch. But these two brothers said, no, I won't want to watch. Even though I want to watch it, but I'm not going to put myself on the side. I'm going to stand on the side. This is what the Torah tells us. You are made of a Torah. Do some discomfort. Do some uncomfortable things. And you will see success, you will see growth, you're going to see the Siyata Dishmaya and Atzlacha. There's a whole other section of this week's Pasha, we're not going to discuss it now. But the Degolem, where every Shevet should stand, the Seder of the Degolem, that's the Yisoid of boundaries. If someone wants to know where boundaries comes from, Parshas Bamidbar. Learn Parshas Bamidbar, you'll understand where you belong. You'll understand the lane that you're supposed to stand. You'll understand not to go from one place to another place. Who are you? Where do you come from? And where are you going? And don't compare yourself to the other family. Because maybe they're not there yet. Maybe they're still shvach. They're working on becoming real B'nai Torah. But that's not you. Again, not a subject we're going to go into now, but if we ever hear the concept of boundaries, it stems from Parshas Bamidbar. We'll be careful with our melas. We'll be careful with where we belong. We'll be careful with our eyes. We'll be careful with discomforting ourselves a little bit. But Eishu B'mayim, but B'mayim doesn't mean much from us today. And we're going to be zeichet to the Venasati, Gishmechem, B'itam, and all the brachas that come along.